Welcome to the heartland of the Jesus Name Pentecostals, the Louisiana District of the United Pentecostal Church Tape Ministry. Tapes may be obtained by writing Tape Ministry, P.O. Box 248, Tioga, Louisiana 71477. Let the tape roll. May you be blessed by this ministry to the glory of God.
I had spoken at a conference in New Orleans at the Monteleon Hotel. We're a state organization. And as soon as I walked off the platform, there was a man that walked up to me and he said, "Coach, I own 54 of these conglomerations." He said, "We have our own state convention with our administrators and our executives. We have it in Manny, Louisiana. We have it at the golf resort on Toledo Bend. There's a convention center that holds an amphitheater that seats 350 people. It's in May." And he said, "I wonder if you would be able to arrange your schedule to be able to speak for us." To which I said, "Yes." I went up that May, spoke at their conference, was well received, had a standing ovation, and as soon as that was over, the owner of this 54 conglomeration corporation walked up to me and he said, "Coach, you have motivated my people beyond belief. Can we have you back again next year?" And I said, "By all means." 10 days prior to that conference, I put together my speech that I would deliver. 10 infallible facts about successful people. On the day that I was supposed to speak, I was driving up I-49, and I just got south of Alexandria, and there was a spirit that came over me that spoke to my heart, and it said, "That's not what I want you to tell them." Now we've all been our Jonas. We've all run from Nineveh. And I totally disregarded and I just kept on driving. I got between Alexandria and Natchitoches, Louisiana, and that same spirit came on me and it once again said to me, "That's not what I want you to tell them." Now I am visibly shaking. I am driving down I-49. There is no one in the car with me. I have hand gestures going, our mouth is moving, people are going by and they're saying, "This guy must be from LSU. And I'm saying to myself, "Lord, you got to be kidding me. I have spent 10 days putting this topic together and you're telling me an hour away from my destination that that's not what you want me to tell him?" And he said, "I'll show you when you get there." I arrive at my destination. I get out of my automobile. I reach over and I grab a brown manila envelope. I start in. It contains my speech. I walk inside. I walk into the restaurant. I'm about 20 minutes before I'm going to speak. When I walk into that restaurant, let me tell you something. I walk in that restaurant and there's a spirit that came over me because I want to tell you what. I couldn't tell whether they were hungover from the night before or they were starting an early party. I knew immediately. I walked back out to my car. I put that speech on the front seat of my car. I grabbed my Bible and I hid it in that conference room. Because sometimes, men, you just gotta do what you gotta do. Oh, hallelujah. I went into that conference room and they began to file in, all 350. They filled the seats and I started off by telling them, "You know, every single one of us here is an executive. Every single one of us has subservients that work for us. And every one of those subservients happens to be an expert in their field. And when there comes a point in time that we need assistance, we go to that subservient and we get the information that they want to give us. And we decipher that information. But I want you to understand one thing. When it's all said and done, we are responsible. That has nothing to do with my subservient. My name is going to be on the line and the buck stopped here. I said, let me do just one simple thing here. I said, let me give you just a little litmus test. I said, just to show you an example of what I'm talking about. I said, if you happen to be a Christian, I want you to raise your hand. 350 hands went up in that place, and I'm telling you right now, some of them had to be held up. I said, okay, since we're all on the same page, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you some brief questions. They're very, very simple. And I said, I tell you what I want you to do. If you know the answer to the question, please raise your hand. And the first question I said was this. What did God call His first two human creations? Hands go up all over the place. And I am drawn to a lady on the third row. I walk up that aisle. I hand her the microphone and she says, Adam and Eve. I said, thank you, ma'am. I walk back down to the front. And I said, my second question for you is this. What was that fruit that they ate in the garden that caused all the commotion? Hands go up all over the place. I walk about halfway up the left side of that aisle. I hand the microphone to a gentleman and he says, apple. I turned around. I walked back down front and there was a lady sitting right in front of me there. I wanted to make sure that she got to answer a question. And I said, ma'am, I said, let me ask you the question. When the commandment was given to put the animals on the ark, I want to know something very, very simple. What was the commandment given? And she said, two by two. I said, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate those answers. But let me tell you something. You must have gone to the same vacation Bible school that I went to. You must have gone to the same Sunday school that I went to. Baseball vernacular for you. You're 0-for-3. You didn't get one right. You see, I am responsible. I can't put it off on anybody else. I am responsible. I walked up the aisle with my Bible. I was drawn to that lady for some reason. I couldn't figure out why I was drawn to her, but I was drawn to this lady. And I walked up to that lady and I handed her my Bible and I said, ma'am, would you read Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2? And in Genesis chapter 5 verse 2, it said that God named His first two creatures Adam. And He named them Adam because it was a significance of marriage and the wife was to take the name of the husband. There is no hyphenation, men. Let me tell you something. If one of those women livers wants you to put a hyphen on their name, tell them to take a hike. She either takes the name of her husband or she goes to the house. I said, ma'am, would you look in chapter 3, just a few chapters before, and look at chapter 20. And in chapter 20, she found out that Adam named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. I turned around and I walked halfway up that aisle on the other side. I found that brother that told me that the apple that they ate was fruit. Was an apple. That fruit. And here it was. I said, I want you to read verse 6 of chapter 3. He read it. And when he finished his comments, I said this. What apple? Where did you get an apple from? Let me tell you, folks. Here's what you better understand. You speak when the Bible speaks and you be silent when the Bible is silent. The Bible never said anything about an apple, so you don't say anything about an apple. Is there going to be an Antichrist? You better believe there's going to be an Antichrist. Is that Antichrist going to be a homosexual? You better believe he is. Who is that Antichrist? I don't know because the Bible doesn't say. Speak when the Bible speaks. Be silent when the Bible is silent. I walked back down to that lady in the front. And I said, ma'am, I wish you would look at Genesis chapter 6, and I want you to look at verses 19 through 22. And she read those verses, and lo and behold, in verses 19 through 22, it says they went on that ark two by two. But it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It may not be all in the one spot, guys. It may be somewhere else, and you may have to tag it together. I said, do me a favor. Would you read just below that, chapter 7, verses 1 and 2? And she did. And the first thing I had to do was clarify the difference between clean and unclean. They got no clue. I had to talk about the difference between sacrificial and non-sacrificial animals. Why? They didn't know. They had that Sunday school, that summertime vacation Bible school mentality. They didn't know. What they did was take the information that somebody gave them and stood on that word without checking it out. Let me tell you something, friend. It has nothing to do with my pastor. Don't you dare point your finger at your pastor. Your pastor's not responsible for you going to hell. You are responsible for you going to hell. Hallelujah. 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 When I got through, we talked some more about responsibility. And at the very end of my talk, I explained to them the vision that was given to me as I drove there, and I told them, I came to tell you about 10 infallible facts about successful people, but God made a detour. Men began to weep. They couldn't believe that I would jeopardize my opportunity to come back for a third year. But man, I'm going to tell you what, when God speaks, you move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the session was over, there was a standing ovation. There were people crying everywhere. And the lady who was sitting in the third row on the right-hand side, walked up to me afterwards. And we're talking about something simple. We're not talking about doctrine. We're talking about something simple. She walked up to me and she said, Coach, she had tears streaming down her face. She said, Coach, I have been married to a Baptist minister for 8 years and I've never ever heard this before. I went and spoke several months later at Brother Quave's church in Bogalusa. And I got through speaking. As soon as I got through speaking, a lady walked up to me and she said, Coach, I just want to tell you one thing. I was not at that convention in Manny, Louisiana, but my boss was, and I want to tell you something right now. He can't speak about that conference without weeping. And as a result, every single Monday morning, we have a Bible study, and every single day of the week, we start off with prayer before we start off the day. I could care less about going back to Manny, Louisiana. It doesn't make a great deal of difference to me. I'm going to go where God sends me. I haven't been invited back, don't intend to be invited back. Let me tell you one thing. We got our point across. Let me tell you something, guys. The tougher the decision, the more information you need. Let me say that again. The tougher the decision you have to make, the more information you need. You're talking about salvation. You're talking about apostolic doctrine. Let me tell you something, friend. You better have a wealth of knowledge of that. I can't tell you all the Bible stories there is in the Bible. I don't know them, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I know the plan of salvation, and I know every stinking apostolic doctrine there is. And I plan to follow it from now until God takes me home. Hallelujah. in the fall of every year, we coop up our baseball players for 3 months. We tie them up for 24 hours a day. And to be totally honest with you, we don't let them mention the word girl. We don't tell them. We tell them they can't even talk to them. If you go to class, look the other way. You're not allowed to talk to any of them until the 3 months is over. We want them pure before the season starts. At the end of that 3 months, Coach Burtman came into a team meeting and he said, "Guys, you've been spectacular. None of you have complained about not having a date." And he said, "So here's what I've done for you." He said, "I've gotten a date for you." He said, "I'm going to give you a choice." He said, "I've got two girls, and I tell you what, I want to tell you about the two girls, and I tell you what, I'm going to let you make up your mind, and you're going to have a date with that girl." He said, "First of all, the first girl I'm going to show you is a model. And this girl goes to the gym 3 times a week. He said, "Now the second girl is a mechanic at JCPenney's. She goes to Weight Watchers 5 times a week. And he turned around to Chad Cooley and he said, "Cooley, who is it you want?" Cooley said, "Coach, it just depends on what's wrong with my car." He said, "No, man, I'm serious." He said, "Who do you want to go with?" He said, "Coach, there's no question. I'm going with the model." And Coach Burtman said, "No, you don't understand, pal. See, you should have had more information. Let me give you the real information. Yes, she is a model. She is a shoe model, and they take pictures of her feet all day long. And yes, she goes to the gym 3 times a week. She's a little obese. Now, let me tell you about the automobile mechanic. She is a knockout. And let me tell you what. Yes, she goes to Weight Watchers 5 times a week. She is the instructor. Before you make a decision, you better have all the information. I'm not going to Mickey Mouse this plan of salvation. I'm not going to allow somebody else to tell me what I have to do. I'm going to find out."
Let's stand and praise the Lord, gentlemen. Time for men's conference. Time to worship Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let's shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let's make some noise in the house tonight. Convinced that the last great hope for America is an apostolic church. Last night at 6:29 p.m. on worldnetdaily.com, they posted these headlines. Judge orders San Diego cross removed. Gave the city 90 days to take it down. Said, "We'll fine you $5,000 a day if you do not take it down." A court battle that's been going on for about 15 years, backed by atheists from the ACLU. And this is our world. You get a chance to read one of the most eye-opening books called The Marketing of Evil. You'll understand that the enemy has a cold and calculated plan to take this nation that was brought about by men, brought to birth by men who loved God, who came seeking freedom to worship God, and they're trying to turn us into a bunch of ignorant-looking fruit baskets. But the problem they have is they're not just fighting men and women. They've come against the living God. What I'm going to preach to you tonight, I feel very passionately about, and I ask these men to sit with me. I chair this committee and have for many years. And they always ask me to speak, and I feel very uncomfortable doing it. But I said, "You guys come up and help me preach tonight." I want to use a slang term. Some of you may get me for this. It's just something I heard people saying. for my text. And this is a men's conference. We have two or three women here, so I'll have to be careful or you'll have to plug your ears. I think I'm going to let you plug your ears. Anyway, you probably don't want to even hear this on the tape, but I hear these people saying these terms, and my own kids say these things, and you know, I go home, repeat them. Sometimes I get in the pulpit and do something real stupid and say one of them, you know. I had a little girl up, and I was just preaching the snot out of this sermon, and I brought her up there, and the enemy had been attacking her, and she'd been having problems, and she came to youth camp, but I was using her in my message, and brought her up here, and I said, "Anna Luce, the devil tried to tear you a new one," and so, you know, that's what the kids say around the house, you know. I hear people saying that, and we go to eat lunch, and my boy said, "Dad, I can't believe you said tear you a new one in the pulpit." I'm like, "What's the deal?" "I don't know what it means." "Am I lying?" "I'm not lying, am I, guys?" And so, if you don't know what it means, don't be saying it in the pulpit. I will tell you that. And then the other day, I got up and said, I can't even say it. I found out what it meant. I sat up there in your men's conference, that word, frickin'. And I got emails, definitions. It's the nastiest word I've ever said in the pulpit. I guarantee you that. But I'm going to step out. You don't know what it means either. Don't say it, Brother Tenney. It's cussing. It's cussing. Don't say it. One of my sweet little ladies came up with tears rolling down her eyes and said, "Brother Dean, please don't ever say this. She's 70 years old. How does she know what it means? And I don't know what it means." Let's go to the book of Revelation tonight. I'm going to preach. Chapter 17. We're going to begin reading with verse number 1. Praise God. Are you ready? The most important things that take place at men's conference usually take place around these altars. And the way you respond and the time you spend responding to what you hear is the most critical thing and the most important thing. Because we lose most of what we hear before we get out of here. Before we leave these campgrounds, a lot of what we've heard, we will forget. But what you feel in this altar and what happens to you in the presence of God begins to minister to you, you will not soon forget that. And so remember that. We don't have a lot of preliminaries tonight on purpose. And we're doing it for a reason. Revelation 17, "There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." I want to preach to you tonight on the bling bling of Babylon. Father, let your word be mighty and anointed tonight in a special way. Men change churches, God. Men are spiritual leaders in their homes. We're not playing games tonight, Father. There's never been a day like this day where godly men must stand to take leadership positions in homes and churches and cities and communities and school boards Help us tonight, oh God, as we preach and everybody say in Jesus' name. Turn around and say somebody, and you better watch out for the bling bling of Babylon. According to UrbanDictionary.com, bling bling is a synonym for expensive, often flashy jewelry sported by mostly by African American hip hop artists and middle class Caucasian adolescents. It's the act of sporting jewelry of highly extravagant, gaudy nature. Noun, it means, man, I got this bling bling yo. It represents the glitter and the pearls and the beads that you see everywhere. You know, used to a church, you vacuum the floor, now you have to vacuum the pews because of all the glitter on the purses and dresses and the hair bows falling out in the seats. One gangster rapper said, bling, bling, every time I come around your city. Bling, bling, pinky ring worth about 50. Bling, bling, every time I buy a new ride. Bling, bling, Lorenzo's on Yokohama tires. Bling, bling. I don't have a clue what that is. Oh, God, what did I just say? Bling, bling, bling goes the gangster. Bang, bang, bang goes the gun. Here's this woman, this harlot that John saw. Arrayed in purple and scarlet color, she is decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. She is a prostitute. She has a golden cup in her hand. She's not too shabby. She looks pretty good. Upon her forehead is a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great. She is the mother of harlots. She is the mother of abominations of the earth. She is drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. And John said, when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The word bugs me. It messed with me as I studied it. John. This was John the beloved. This was John who had seen so much. John the apostle of love who had leaned his head upon the warm breast of Jesus. And it also witnessed the appalling murder of Jesus. John. John, this apostle who had been carried away in the Spirit through a great door in heaven. And there he witnesses the events that happen at the end of time. He sees the 24 elders as they fall down at the feet of the Lamb. John, who looked into the future and saw the seals, the vials, and the trumpets bringing destruction and judgment upon the earth. John, who sees it all, who watched him turn water into wine, walk on the water, and raise the dead. John, the last remaining apostle. His compadres are dead. They have been murdered, and the harlot is drunk on their blood. It seems to me he should have looked at her with disdain and disgust. But instead, he wondered with great admiration. You see, the bling bling. Something caught his attention. Something lured him. Something drew him. He saw that she was drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs. And he knows she's a harlot. He knows she's the mother of harlots. And this last remaining apostle of the original 12, looks with great admiration. The word admiration is what stuns me here. This lady is drunk on the blood of his buddies. Saints like Stephen, apostles like James. He knows who she is, and he knows her horrifying past. And he knows what she's about. But he looks with great admiration. He called her a harlot for a reason. Because you see, a harlot, her livelihood is built upon the lust of men. A harlot depends upon the desires of man. So she has to dress accordingly. She dresses to appeal to his base and lowest nature. The word in the Greek means to admire, to have admiration or to marvel. And so I see this woman, and I'm reminded of the words of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 27. And this word yet once more signifying the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Some things are going to be shaken loose. And I've come to ask you tonight, do you have an anchor? And what is your anchor attached to? Is your anchor attached to something unmovable? Are you fastened to the rock of ages? Because if this woman could lure John, who am I and who are you? If her glittering gold and costly array appealed to him, then who am I? Paul said in Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Jesus in Matthew 24 and 24 said, for there shall many false Christ arise, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall sow great signs and wonders. Insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Babylon. Babylon, the mother harlot. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many. Somebody shout many. Amen. Not the love of a few, but the love of many shall wax cold. Not a few, the love of many shall wax cold. And verse 13, he said, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. He didn't say they'd quit worshiping. He didn't say they'll denounce God. He didn't say they'll quit coming to church. He didn't say they'll quit supporting the church. He said their love would wax cold. The word comes from a Greek word which means to cool by blowing. It's not the wind of God that's blowing on these saints. It's the wind of the world. It's the wind of Babylon. Sounds like the Ephesus church to me. As Brother Tenney said about the Ephesus church, in their relation to God, we still believe in you, but we're just not excited about you anymore. I don't know if you're aware of this, but my father's generation, the World War II generation, is dying at a rate of 1,500 a day. Generation X is coming of age. Generation X, 35% of them were born in the home of a teenage mother without a daddy. In the African-American community, the figure is 70%. 70% of black children that are born in that generation without a daddy and with a teenage mother. 1934, a woman started an organization called the Negro Project. The purpose of this organization was to wipe out the Negro population. According to James Dobson, that same organization exists today. It only has a different name. It goes by the name of Planned Parenthood. Maybe this explains why there are three times more abortions in the African American community than in the other community. Half of our children in America today are being raised in fatherless homes. And I need to say something here. It's often easier to start with nothing and to build something brand new than to remodel something. But when you remodel, you got to tear something out. You got to jank up carpet. And there's glue on the floor. You've got to make sure that the boards are safe and the slab is solid and there's no shifting in the slab. It's often easier to start with something brand new. But we're getting a generation that's so warped. Their mindset is so different than our mindset. What they think is PG, I think is R. What they think, what I think is bad language is common language to them in their high schools. Amen. I've been told that 1 minute worth of planning is worth 12 minutes of activity. And I'm saying tonight to these group of men, it's time to start planning. Hosea 4:6, God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They weren't destroyed by devils. They weren't destroyed by evil spirits. Their destruction came because they did not have knowledge. And destruction will only occur to the apostolic church when we have no knowledge. Your ignorance of the Word of God is the most effective weapon that your enemy has against you. I'm saying something right now. I want you to hear what I'm saying. Your ignorance of the Word of God is the greatest weapon the devil has against you. Look at the two thieves on Calvary that hung there with Jesus. One had knowledge and the other had no knowledge. Satan's not afraid of your sinning. He knows if you discover the mercy of God, you'll realize God's mercy is new every morning. He doesn't fear your poverty. He fears you knowing that God wants you to prosper and be blessed even as your soul prospers and that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. That's what the enemy's afraid of. Satan doesn't fear your depression. He fears that you will discover that God gave you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's what he's afraid of. He's not afraid of your detestable habits. He fears that you find out that a righteous man can fall 7 times and get up again. Now just knowing the Word of God is not enough. The old prophet said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. It's not good enough to know the Word. You've got to get it in your heart. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I want His Word to get in every cell of my body. I want His Word to flow in every blood cell and go to every organ and into my mind and into my feet, into my hands. Because everywhere the Word of God goes, it brings life. Give the Lord a hand clap. Let's get ready tonight. Come on, let's get ready to receive something from the Holy Ghost. Babylon's going to pull at us. And Babylon's going to lure. But I'm going to put my anchor into something that's not movable. That's unmovable and steadfast. Solomon was a wise man. He had all kind of knowledge. He was the wisest man in all the earth. There's none like him in the earth. His discoveries of knowledge about birds and beasts, the fish of the sea, plants was far beyond anyone else's knowledge. The Bible said he wrote 3,000 Proverbs and 1,005 Psalms. He was the wisest man that lived. And he knew the Word of God. But he didn't obey the Word of God. He knew that the old prophet Moses said, if you get you a king, I've got some things to tell you. You don't need a bunch of horses and you don't need a bunch of wives and you don't need to heap up riches to yourself. But everything he said a king shouldn't do, Solomon did it. He knew the Word, but he didn't obey the Word. You better get the Word in your heart. You better get your Bible reading regimen going and you better do more than just read it for 5 minutes a day. You better study to show thyself approved because Babylon's going to be luring. And when you see Babylon, there's admiration in Babylon. I've come to preach to you tonight that Babylon is a man-made religion. Babylon is the first man-made religion. And you better get the true Word in your heart because there's some pulling going on, some apostolic men in our fellowship today. He knew it all, but he didn't have it. He couldn't control his lust. David talked to him before he died. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." You see, Solomon had it in his head, but he didn't have it in his mouth. He knew the right things, but he didn't confess the right things. He didn't live the right things. There's a whole lot of shaking going on in our world. There is a whole lot of shaking going on in our world. There's a passion that we've got to get a hold of and pass on to Generation X. I'm trying to figure out, Brother Tenney, I don't have the knowledge that some of these young people have, but I have a passion. I don't know how to get it on them. I want to get it on them. I want to rub off on them. I want to rub off on them. I want to rub off on them. Come here, Brother Chris, one of my single young men. I want to rub off on you, Chris. This boy lives for God, but there's something in us that we got to get to him. Don't leave me now, son. Come on, Chris. I got to rub off. I don't know how to get it to him. I don't know how to get it from here to here. It's not that I'm anything special, but we got a hold of something. We got a passion. I'm going to tell you how you won't get it to him. You won't get it to him by sitting in church with your hands folded. You won't get it to him sitting on a pew when everybody else is in the prayer room. Are you hearing me tonight? You better get a hold of something. We got to rub off on Generation X. Babylon, man-made religion. The origin of man-made religion. Have it your way religion. Burger King religion. It came out of the bottomless pit. It was birthed from hell itself. Babylon is fallen. John said it's the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And every nation is affected by her voice. Every nation on the face of this earth partakes with her of her sins. But may God raise up an apostolic generation. They may look at her and say, wow. They may have admiration, but they'll turn their back on a man-made religion and a compromising religion and say, no, I'm going to get the word in me. I'm going to get it in my mouth, not just in my head. I'm not just going to be able to quote a verse and give you a pretty devotional. I'm going to have this living word in my heart. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. This is a wicked world we're living in. It's called bling bling. She drinks the blood of the apostles. And the apostle John looks at her with great admiration. It was a weird day. That generation, they can talk in tongues in the altar and go out and commit fornication. I mean, they can literally talk in tongues in the church and go out and have fornication. Well, now that's not a real new thing. The new thing about it is it don't bug them. They don't repent, they just come back and... You know, we need some prophets, don't we? We need some Nathans to say, you're the man. What does modesty even mean anymore? Would somebody define modesty for me? Would you please tell me what does modesty mean? Don't you hate for summer to come? You can't even go to Walmart, man. Walmart's getting PG-13. They're headed for R. Oh, some of you probably like going to Walmart. You don't even walk down the aisle with your wife because you don't want your wife to watch you and see what you're looking at. I'll preach to you. I sure will. This is a day when we got single people getting pregnant, singles getting pregnant, and it's no big deal anymore. It's not a big deal. It's like go with the flow. Where's the passion? Where's the conviction? We got a man-made religion. We got a feel-good religion. We got a sloppy, agape, greasy grace religion. And it's everywhere. Oh, you don't have to preach with me. I don't care. I'm going to preach with you or I'm going to preach without you. And I ain't about through yet either. Because I got a word from God and I'm coming to you tonight. I want to dig your soul up. I want to dig the earth up. I want to get down to where you live. Because everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. You better get a hold of something. Man-made religion. It's the bling bling. It's glittering. It's glistening. It's glitter. It's gold. It's pulling. In Ezekiel chapter 8, you read chapter 8 and 9, where he told him to go and dig a hole in the wall. He went in and he said there were 70 priests in there all around in the temple, in the hidden chamber of the temple. They were worshiping all these idols. And the Bible said the prophet looked in there and he said every man had his censer. And guess what? The whole place was full of the smoke of the incense. You see, they were replicating the glory of God. They had it in the holy place. The common man couldn't even see inside those walls. But they all had their own censer. They were all doing their own little thing. You know, you get to heaven your way, I get to heaven my way. We'll all just come together and sing something and we'll all worship God together and we'll wave our little censers and we'll get on something going. You don't have to like this. I'm going to preach it to you anyway. You believe what you want to believe. We'll believe what we want to believe. I tell you what we better believe. We better go back to this book. Let me tell you something, brethren. We're not just disdained by the world because we have a holiness lifestyle. They don't like this one God message. They don't like this Acts 2:38 message. I got news for them. That's what I've been anchored on. I got my anchor on it and I ain't gonna let anything shake me loose. You bring your little censer and worship and do what you want to do, but I want the real glory of God to fill the house. I want the kind of glory to fill the house so when the young person comes in and he's been living in fornication, the sinner cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. When's the last time you saw somebody run to an altar? When's the last time you saw somebody grab a hold of the back of the pew? I don't want just smoke. I want the glory! Are you hearing me? I don't want just smoke. I want the glory of God to come in the house. God. We gotta rub off on somebody, Brother Cox. We gotta rub off on them. Get some passion back in our lives. Give the Lord a hand clap, would you? Brother Foster, they got their censers. You, brother, get some censers out here with me. They got their censers and they're waving them. They're all, man, they're all jumping up and they're doing great. And you know what the Bible said in 8 and 9 of Ezekiel? The glory of God was making a departure. They had the whole house full of smoke and the glory's gone. Suddenly the glory of God is out to the front door and they're back in there doing their own little thing. And then the glory is moving out to the front porch. And they come away with me. Let's get our little censer going. And they're just worshiping God. I'm not making fun of anybody or anything tonight. I'm afraid that we better be careful of a man-made religion. We better get back to the book, brother. We better get some passion for truth. I don't want the glory to leave the apostolic church. My God, I'd rather have a buck-tooth banjo player with the anointing of the Holy Ghost on him if he can bring the glory in. Oh, God. Gentlemen, there was a day when a man walked the aisle, when he turned loose of that pew and headed down that altar. You didn't get him the first service. And many times it took weeks and months. But when that man turned loose of that altar, of that pew, when he took that first step in the aisle, he was turning his back on family. He was turning his back on friends. He didn't do it quickly. He didn't do it without fault. But he couldn't resist the power of the Holy Ghost. And so when he turned loose of that pew and headed down that aisle, he made a commitment before he ever got to the altar. He may not get the Holy Ghost for 3 more months, but he's already made up his mind. I want the glory back. Somebody shout, I want the glory back. I don't want a man-made religion. We got people getting the Holy Ghost on Sunday morning. We never see them again. Thank God they got the Holy Ghost. But oh God, give us the glory. Clap your hands to Jesus, please. Shout unto God. Well, I know I'm probably going off crazy here. We make it convenient. We make it convenient for the sinner to find God. Maybe that's why they find him and walk off. I want the glory. I want to see somebody a few weeks ago. I saw people run to the altar. I hadn't seen that a lot. I said, oh my God, what a refreshing sight. The Holy Ghost so powerful in the house of God. Somebody's running to the altar. Come on, Brother Robert, make another lap for me, would you? Somebody run into the altar. Gotta find God. We're not going to get it with a man-made religion. We're going to get it with the glory. And we're going to get the glory by being willing and obedient. You know, you go on down in Ezekiel. You go to Ezekiel and you find another group of men. 25 men. The Bible said they had their backs to the altar. They had turned their backs on the temple. They were looking toward the rising sun. They were worshiping the sun. The sun had blinded their eyes. They couldn't see that the glory had departed the temple. They were so absorbed with the outside world, Babylon with its bling bling, their faces to the sun. They were looking to a new day, a new religion, a new way of having church. They were having worship, but their backs were to the altar. God forbid! Somebody shout, God forbid! And then in chapter 9, verse 5, the Lord sent a man out into the city clothed with a linen. And the Lord said, go through the midst of the city and through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. A judge says the cross has got to come down, San Diego. There ought to be 50,000 apostolics sighing and crying. A Jeb says a 14-year-old girl can get an abortion without notifying her mom and dad. There ought to be 100,000 apostolics sighing and crying. I've come to ask you a question. Do you care anymore? Do you care anymore? Does it bother you anymore? Babylon's appeal is reaching out to the apostolics. Does it bother you enough to sigh and cry? I can have a fish fry or ice cream supper at home and get a crowd out. Call a prayer meeting and you cross your fingers and hope 20 people will show up. And I got men, good men, that know what I'm telling is the truth. Does anybody sigh and cry anymore? Got your back to the altar, worshiping. But you're not worshiping the right God. They're worshiping the sun. And their backs are to the altar. Their backs are to the temple. Shame on us when we rush into the sanctuary to worship. bypassing the prayer room. Shame on us. Got our backs to the altar. I'm going to preach with you. I'm going to preach without you. Shame on you. Help me preach, somebody. You got time to watch. You got time to watch the evening news before you come to church on Wednesday night, but you don't have time to come to the prayer meeting. But preach it. Preach it, Brother Dean. Preach it. You got your backs to the altar and you got the faith. Got to get in here and worship. Got to get in here and worship. Where's somebody who sighs and who cries about the condition of our world? I'm going to tell you, friends, it ain't enough to have zeal. Thank you for your zeal. Peter had zeal, didn't he? I go all the way with you, Jesus. They're going to kill you. They'll kill me. We're in this together, buddy. Me and you, Jesus, all the way. Little old teenager. Little old teenage girl. You know, like Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me. He's big old tough Peter. And then God said, when you're converted, when you finally get converted, strengthen the brethren. Well, wouldn't that be a way to get your bubble busted? You're chomping at the bits to turn the world upside down. And Jesus says, "You, when you get converted, well, I'll go with you all the way. I'm a men's conference jumping up and down, huckabucking. All you waiting on is one little old chick at the water fountain to bat her eyes at you. Because you don't have a prayer life. You don't have the word in you. And you're an affair waiting to happen. Because all you've learned how to do, I don't care if you don't like it. God gave me this, I'm going to preach it. With all you learn how to do is worship. Nobody loves worship more than this man that's preaching to you right now. But I'm saying we got to get our backs back away from that altar. And we got to face that altar. We got to kneel at that altar. We better get down at that altar. Hallelujah. Clap your hands. I'm going to quit here in a minute. Well, it's going to be a great day when you announce a fish fry and say, oh, come on, Pastor, can't we have a prayer meeting? Oh, God. The greatest burden of my heart is this generation that's coming up. It eats at me in the night. It worries me in the day. As Brother Jenny said, I worry a wart on my brain. I know that don't do any good to worry. But I see them with this frivolous. Oh, I know it's not just Bossier. Oh, no. I got friends that pastor. I know we're having pockets, brother. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Will some of you pastors help me preach tonight? Will some of you pastors get in here and help me preach? You know what I'm talking about. Coming up with all this terminology about technical virginity. And, well, I didn't have intercourse, so I'm technically a virgin. Oh, hogwash. Now, here's the problem. We can call that hogwash. But we got a lot of them believe that. They're believing that. And we're not going to change it with a program. And we're not going to change it with another song. We're going to change it when we get our faces back to that altar and say, oh God, where is the glory? You say, well, I know what the answer is. Answer's just having good church. Hey, come see us in Bossier. We have good church in Bossier, don't we, gentlemen? Huh? Come on, Bossier men. Holler out now. We have church at home. We have a move of God at home. We got to get His glory back. I'm talking about the kind of glory that causes people to fall on their face before God and repent. I was in a Starbucks recently. Don't want to whet your appetite here. I always looked at the Starbucks logo. And I was getting me a latte, and I asked the lady behind the counter, I said, "Who is the woman in the logo?" I never knew who she was. I looked at her and said, "Zena, do you know who she is?" I didn't know who she was. And the lady behind the camera said, "Oh, that's Cyrene." Cyrene. I thought Cyrene went, whew, 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 whew. I said, "That's Cyrene." I said, "Who in the world is Cyrene?" And before she answered me, I remembered. Oh, yeah, that's those women that sang on the island. You remember, Brother David, the women that sang on the island and they lured the sailors? And there were cliffs. They were kind of like half women and half fish, I think. And their songs were so beautiful. And the sailors would come by. So here's the captain. It's in the Odyssey. So the captain, he wanted to hear that. He wanted to hear that sound because he heard about it. And what happened, they'd draw those sailors up to that island. And there were cliffs and rocks, and they'd crash and they'd die. But he wanted to hear that sound. So he came up with this idea. He got some wax and he plugged the ears up of his sailors. And he had them tie him to the mast. So they bound him up to the mast and they sailed by. And he got the thrashing and kicking because he wanted them to turn him loose. But they couldn't hear him because they had wax in their ear. Now, Brother Tenney, I heard you preach a message one time and you said Paul quoted the poets. I'm fixing to preach from the poets. And I'm going to close with this. Because, brother, I'm going to tell you, you better get your ears plugged. It does make a difference what you hear. Well, I know this ain't last year. I know this ain't like in the past, but I'm telling you some good stuff tonight. I've just about decided the most important thing in your life is who you're hanging out with. Somebody's pulling you down. You got to get the guts to say, "You know what, brother? I love you. I want to have fellowship with you. But right now you're taking my spirituality and turn it into carnality." So, don't cut them off. Say, let's take up our fellowship in the prayer room. Let's take up our fellowship. Let's take a prayer shift at the church. Let's go pray a little bit together. If they're not willing to do it, you need to say, "You know what? Heaven's worth more than my friendship with you. And being the spiritual leader in my house is worth more than my time with you in the bass boat or on the golf course. My spiritual authority in my home is worth more than what you're doing to me." It does make a difference what you hear. It does make a difference what you see. It does make a difference what you watch. Huh? I'm a little old-fashioned and I'm not embarrassed about it. I want to rub off on somebody. You know what? We need to get some plugs in our ears. I don't know how to plug your ear except turn some things off and get the Bible up and say, "Fill me up with the Word of God, Lord." You got time to read the paper and you don't have time to read the Bible. Come on, somebody help me preach tonight. You got time to read every fiction, every novel, and every Louis L'Amour book, and you don't have time to pick up the Bible and get it. Babylon's going to be getting you. Babylon's going to be coming after you. Well, she won't mess with me. She messed with John. And then you better tie me down. I've been preaching 35 minutes. You better tie me down. I need this chair. I need this chair. Bring it out here. Praise God. I don't know. Right there would be good. You better get tied down. The old captain said, "Tie me up. I don't want to shake free." Brother Mangan, come up here and help me. Brother G.A. Mangan. He reminds me of my dad. Oh, my God. Bring him up here, Anthony. Brother Anthony, forgive me. Give me that microphone over there, Brother Jerry. Come here. Come here, Brother Mangan. Sit down in this chair. Sit down right here. You better get tied down to something. You better get tied down to something. Brother, there's a lot of man-made religion out here. There's a lot of blending together. There's an ecumenical movement out there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And they're pulling it apostolic. So are you hearing what I'm saying? Brother Mangan, tell me how many gods are there?
The one God. His name is Jesus.
Preach a little bit about one God.
Jesus, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace.
How are we going to be saved, Brother Mangan?
We got to repent and be baptized. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you.
Come on.
And your children.
Come on.
Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2:38 is the only way that God is calling. Because this is the Holy Ghost dispensation.
Yeah.
God does not recognize anything but the Holy Ghost.
Sit down right here. You better find out what you believe. You better know why you believe it. You better get David Menard's books. You better get Search for Truth. You better study it. You better quit depending on your pastor. You don't need to have to call your pastor when somebody wants a Bible study or call another brother in the church. Are you hearing me tonight? You better get tied down. Come here, Andrew. You better get tied down to this old anchor. This Acts 2:38, one God, Jesus name message. No, don't tie him up. Tie me up. Tie me up. Tie me up. I gotta get tied down. Babylon's luring. Babylon's calling. Bling, bling, and Babylon's reaching out for me. Tie me up. Praise God. Now wrap me up here with Brother Mangan. My dad calls on Monday morning. He don't care how many we had in church. He don't ask me how many did you have in Sunday school. He says, how many did you baptize in Jesus' name? My dad wants to know, did anybody get the Holy Ghost yesterday? He don't care if we had 100 or 1,000. He wants to know, did anybody get baptized in Jesus' name? Thank you, Daddy, for giving me an anchor. Thank you, Brother Mangan, for giving us an anchor. You better get tied up. You better get tied up. This is not something we can throw away. It got us to where we are, and it's going to get us to heaven. I don't want to be able to break free. When Babylon gets to calling, and when Cyrene gets to calling, I'm not thrashing, I might buck around a little bit, but praise God, I got a hold of the old ship of Zion. I'm on the mast of the old ship of Zion. I'm not leaving. I don't have anywhere to go. Hallelujah, I got my ears plugged up. Brother Mangan, we're here. We can't get loose. That's what I'm trying to do in this message tonight. I'm trying to build a visual so you'll get a hold of what I'm preaching to you. You better get tied down to something. I don't know what I'm going to do. Don't you untie me. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to get a hold of this. You got to understand, gentlemen, these men were a different breed. He wants a mic. Give it to him. You can't get up. We're tied down.
I came in under classical Pentecost. Not exactly like it is now. And certainly not charismatics. I've seen doctrines come and go. I've seen preachers come and go. But nothing in 85 years have ever shaken me from this glorious apostolic truth.
It's a different breed, brothers. They came out of everything under the sun. They came out of denominationalism. They're like my dad. They came out looking for something more. He found God at a brush arbor and he turned his back on everything he ever knew because he saw truth. You better get tied down to truth.
Brother Cyrene will be calling, but we'll sail right on by. Hallelujah. I need somebody to get some wax and put it in this old boy's ear. I don't want to hear the call of Cyrene. I don't want to hear the call of Babylon. We're here, Brother Mangan. I can't get loose. I don't want to get loose. I want to stay right here. Praise God. I want to reach a world. I want to shake a world. Babylon's calling! Let me tell you, there's another part to that story. When they sailed by, there was a man that took a musical instrument. And the story is told this way, that he started playing that musical instrument and he made it louder and sweeter than the sound of the sirens that were singing on the island. Are you hearing me? Somebody took up an instrument and said, listen, we're going to drown out the noise of the great harlot. Hallelujah. We're going to drown out the noise of Babylon. We're going to worship. We're going to praise God. We're going to lift our voices. We've been in the prayer room. We've been rattling the altar. We've been pounding the altar. We've been sighing and crying. And now somebody's going to pick up some music. And it's going to sound a little sweeter. You know what? We're too domesticated. We're too civilized. Hey, I'm sorry. I preached about it Sunday at home. Domesticated apostolics. We don't need to be so stinking civilized and domesticated when it comes to our passionate worship for God. What is it you told us, Brother Tinney? It's a whole lot easier to cool off somebody that's on fire than it is to warm up a corpse. Somebody ought to break out of your box and say, hey, I'm going to worship loud enough. Gentlemen, John, hold on, John. John, hold on for two chapters, John. I know Babylon's calling you, John, but hold on, John, for two chapters. My God, John, if you can just get to Acts, if you can get to Revelation 19. If you can just get to Revelation 19, you're going to see a city coming down from God. You talk about bling bling. You talk about some gold. You talk about some glitter. Hold on, John. Don't throw in the towel now, John. Hold on. I'm preaching to you, apostolic men. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Yeah. I want some cannons. Hey, let me challenge you to do something. Go by the Pentecostals of Alexandria. Tell them you want the tape of Brother Mike Williams from Because of the Times. In my estimation, one of the greatest messages I ever heard in my life. He talks about how the devil has succeeded in taking heaven off of the table for the apostolics. We've lost sight of the goal. We've lost sight of the New Jerusalem. And Babylon, the bling bling of Babylon, is calling to us. But I'm challenging you, brethren. Hold on! Iran is enriching uranium, brethren. Hold on! Gog and Magog is saying they don't care. Hold on. Russia's saying we're not going to get in the way. Hold on. Israel's getting ready to bomb those nuclear sites, I believe. Hold on. Hold on. Two more chapters. Get a hold of somebody and encourage them in the Lord, brother. Woo!
Yes! Yes! Come on, encourage somebody. Hold on, brother.